Life's a binge.
Right?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday midweek bonus episode. This episode's a bonus. That's why it's coming at you on Thursday.
Boop, boop, boop.
And we got BJ doing a cool thing. So what's up, BJ?
So, you know, we...
You're not ready.
I'm ready. No, I'm ready.
Okay. Well,
I'm totally ready.
Sure.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Sure.
You're typing something, so I just
I can do two things at once.
Are
I'm
you
crazy.
Sure?
I'm so sure. So... This is a fun extra episode.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if you've been a fan of the show and you've been listening to the show for a while,
yep.
I hope you have. And if not, I hope you do. But anyway, we've been talking for a little while about kind of cashing in our chips, like using the people that we know.
And you know a lot of people. I don't know anybody.
It is a little, it's kind of crazy. I do, you know, especially when I list them all out.
Right.
It's like, oh shit, you know, I kind of do know a lot of people.
Right.
You know, like, or have like some sort of connection,
connection.
To a lot of people. And one of the connections that I have and have had for a little while and is exciting to kind of use for this episode is a connection to the band The Decemberists, who are a fairly popular band.
They are quite popular.
They're a popular band, and they've had several albums out. They've been out for years. And the drummer is my best friend Tom's nephew, John Moen.
Nice.
And so he's somebody who's kind of been around in my life for a long time. And we've kind of hung out now and then for the past several years. Whenever they happen to come to town, he will leave.
They might not be the biggest name. Like, you might not know the name, but, like, they're big enough to have been on... all sorts of stuff. Like
national television.
Right.
Yeah, big national television.
Right.
Like Stephen Colbert, like Jay Leno,
Dave Letterman. And, yeah. All sorts of stuff.
Like,
so.
Yeah, they've been on they're a big band.
Right.
They're
so
a band
you should,
big enough.
You should know the name. And if you don't, then
you should. Yeah, and if you don't, like honestly, just this personally, but like I think that you would probably get a big kick out of them. They're a fun band. They're very good. They're a smart band that kind of utilizes, like, so for example, they were on the episode of The Simpsons,
right,
where they were referred to kind of when Homer moves to a town that's so hip,
right?
You know, so it's a very big Portland and Portlandia esque episode of The Simpsons, and so Marge Simpson introduces the band as one of the new music teachers of the school of Springfield,
at the charter school
at Springfield Elementary. Yeah. And it's trip, and it's just a trip. They're a big enough band to where they're popular with a lot of people who, you know, if you don't know them, you know people who know them, that's for sure.
Right. For sure.
And so it's really fun, and it's fun to talk about, and it's fun to kind of reflect on. And so that's what we did with this interview with John.
Yeah, you get to sit down with John and like chit-chat about his whole experience being on TV and just going through the band and stuff. And it's a solid interview. Like, I listened to it previous because that's how we do in the editing world, but dude, it's legit, man.
Hopefully, yeah. What I'm hoping is that, like, everybody who listens to it will have some sort of experience of, like, this is what I would want to know.
Right.
Like, I would want to know about, like, oh, my, you were on Letterman? Like, please tell me about that. You were on this? You were on The Simpsons? Please tell me about that. Like, that's really cool. That's something that we're all envious of. And so so John, who's very accessible and very nice guy.
And what's funny is, like, you go into all that, as you guys are going to hear in a couple minutes, but, like, you go into that whole thing, like, what was like being on this, what was like being on that, and he's like all ready to tell those anecdotes, but you're like, what year was it when you started doing whatever, and he's like, you're talking to me about years, like, I got nothing going on. So like, it's kind of funny, like, the things, and those would be the things that kind
of
stand out in, you know, everybody's memory.
Like,
I don't remember when I started playing drums. I don't remember when I joined the band, but I remember being on Jay Leno.
Yeah.
I remember talking to David Letterman.
Yeah,
I remember doing this. Like, and so, like, it's great the fact that you dive into these things, and he even jokes about it. Like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the important part of the story.
No, the important part is that you were on Saturday Night Live, and you have a story about being in the limo with Anna Gasteyer, and, you know, and like, that's all cool stuff, and hanging out and talking to Lorne Michaels.
Yep.
Like, that's really cool
stuff. And so that's the stuff that matters not what year did you start the band. But exactly. Like, as an interviewer, like, that's going to be the one thing.
You're trying to, like, yeah, you're trying to, like,
how do I ease my way into this? And it's like, yeah. No one gives a crap. Even the guy that's telling the story.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't
of
care.
Of course he gives a crap, but, like, he doesn't remember. He's like, maybe 1990. No. Like, I don't know. Like
a lot of us. It's a, yeah, for a lot of us, it's like the emotional experience of a particular thing is what sticks out. So you can talk about, like, oh, man, you know, Jay Leno was really nice. Or, oh, my God, Dave Letterman was so, like, obtuse.
Aloof and,
just so, you know, and that's fun to hear because you're like, what is this like?
Right.
What is this like? What is it like to be, like, immortalized in, like, the probably the biggest piece of pop culture of all time, being The Simpsons? You know, like, what is that like? You know, that so that's what's really cool and fun to ask him about and fun to hear him answer. So,
yeah, so enjoy this interview that BJ did with John Moen from The Decemberists.
Our next guests are an acclaimed rock and roll band whose new CD is entitled The Crane Wife. Please welcome The Decemberists.
That's good. So, first of all, our show is called Life's a Binge, and we do a podcast about TV and movies and pop culture and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm BJ. I'm one of your hosts of Life's a Binge, for those of you who are listening out there. And I'm talking today with John Moen, who is the drummer for the band The Decemberists, who I hope that you're familiar with. If not, you should be familiar with. And it's a running joke on our podcast about who do I know and, like, kind of like...
Right.
You know, like a...
6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, and so I can't believe that I never mentioned, because I always am bragging about, you know, like this and that and the other, and I feel like I've told everyone, oh, you know, my best friend Tom's nephew is the drummer in The Decemberists.
Yeah.
And most people are like, really? You know, and some people are, you know, aren't... Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's really cool, and so this is a string that I'm pulling to get, you know, someone in an awesome band to do a podcast with us, and someone who I really like, too. So I'm actually very close to the Hyler family and extended family, the Cummings and the Moens. Mm-hmm. And was there another last name in there?
Oh, I don't know.
But anyway.
I'm not sure.
But anyway, thank you. And there's a couple things, especially as our podcast goes, that we would love to find out about and, like, kind of hear about.
Okay.
First of all, like, how have you... How's it been a working musician for this long?
Oh, well, you know, feel super lucky, you know, because I don't,
how long have you been only being a musician?
Well, on and off since I was a teenager, but some of that time was, the bulk of that time was fairly, you know, hand to mouth, you know.
Right.
No health insurance, living in someone's basement in an apartment, you know, like, not... supporting a family.
Right, you which know, you have now.
Which I do have now.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, like, you know, it's been a long time.
Uh-huh.
I was a tree guy for a while, like 6 years. Plan B was to, you know...
Planting trees?
I'm like an arborist.
Okay.
Assistant. Basically, I pruned trees, removed them, planted them.
So did you climb up in them and everything?
Uh-huh.
And
do I it? Eventually learned to climb. I did 6 years of that. That was great. Scary and great.
I've seen that, and I think that's one of those things where I think about that's probably, like, exhilarating, like,
all
the time.
It is. It's a cool gig. I mean, you come home at the end of the day and, you know, I'm going to eat a steak. I mean, I'm going to go to sleep. And, like, you really feel like you did something, you know. And, you know, and you can stand back and look at what you've done, and it's very tangible. You know, if you've done a nice job with a tree, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that improved their property. This is great.
Yeah, that is.
or made things safer, or, you know, helped the tree fertilize, just fertilizing things, or whatever you're doing, it's all...
It's a job well done.
Yeah.
You kind of feel proud of it.
And that's actually a challenge for music with me, is sometimes not being so certain about that. I do realize that music enriches people's lives. Most people would say that some sort of music does enrich their lives. So I understand that, but it's also sometimes... You know, it's a different kind of job. It can feel frivolous sometimes,
a
little bit, or ephemeral, or I don't know.
I imagine it depends on kind of, like, your mood, you know, because I think, like, in a particular mood, you could feel like, I'm lucky and I'm blessed and I'm also being paid for the very many years of hard work that I put in.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, you're like, you see somebody who's changing the world in a more tangible way.
Yeah.
That you might feel less than or something.
I definitely suffer from that. And that, certainly not, I don't know.
What would you want to do? Like,
What else would I want to do?
Yeah, like
not really anything. That's uh-huh. that's my personal
right.
issue.
Uh-huh.
Is this is what I wanted is what right. I wanted to do since I was like I'm one of the few people who in high school decided on something they wanted to do and managed
that's
to pull it
lucky,
off.
Lucky. Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's lucky just to kind of be able to think about something that you really are passionate about and would like to do, and that's something that I always think that if you have that. You're already kind of a lucky person. You're already kind of
blessed.
I agree. I think
momentum, just having the idea and then letting momentum build on your idea is
uh-huh.
a really hard thing to come by in life. I, as I watch people go through life besides myself.
Too, right.
You know?
It is. You know, when I think about myself and, on a much smaller scale, how much I play music for a living,
mm-hmm.
that I think if I would have put the effort into it earlier and mm-hmm. started earlier and focused on it earlier, maybe what could have been. The same thing with anything, athletics or anything,
sort of in the beginning, it sort of is this game where you really just have to, it sort of have, I don't think of myself as self-confident, but at some point I'd have to admit that I must have been because I was on a trajectory that was sort of semi-foolhardy by most people's standards.
Right. Well, so you got either self-confidence or foolish.
Then to double back when I, plan B was music was not helping pay the bills much. And uh-huh. so I, went to work for my friend who had a tree company and did that for a while. And then when that started to hurt, too much, my lower back started to give me issues and stuff. I had to quit doing that.
Yeah.
And then took music up again as plan C or back to plan A. And that was, I think, the luckiest part, was that I was able to get it going, make a career out of it again after not doing it for
now, a while. Was drums your first instrument, or did you play?
I played saxophone in the high school, in grade school, middle school.
And did you read music and everything as well?
When I played that, I played the sax, I did. Uh-huh. I have, and then I, drums, took a few lessons, but I never really learned how to do it right. It's more of a acquired, just playing with people kind of a thing.
And is the drums the instrument that you've only played for bands?
For the most part. I have another band called Eyelids where mm-hmm. I play guitar and sing.
Right.
And we've put out a few records on it, on a smaller level.
Uh-huh.
And so that's been really rewarding for me. And I've had solo bands in the past. There was one called Perhaps. When I just want to make a record, I have enough songs mm-hmm. to make a record, I'll just, throw some money. Vanity project kind
that's
of
cool.
Deals.
Yeah. Are you sitting on a lot of material? Or?
At this point there's tons of songs I've written,
that's great.
That not that many people have heard, I don't think. But
do you think that they will?
I doubt it. I mean,
someone really needs to hear this one?
Late date in pop culture, we're really kind of drowning in talented people. I really think that. I look around and I'm like,
in a lot of ways, I guess. Yeah.
No, I mean, even the level, the young bands now, uh-huh. their level of musicianship is so much higher than when I was a kid. You know, there'd be the high school kid guys who put a band together.
Uh-huh.
I think it's it's more parental support at a younger age. My daughter, who's 11, is going to be in the girls' rock camp, which is a kind of a nationwide. Or maybe worldwide organization where they
send them to the School of Rock.
Yeah, it's kind of like School of Rock, but uh-huh. it's girl centric.
Okay, cool.
And it's a great program.
That's cool. So does she have an instrument? Or?
She, I think this year she wanted keys. She did play bass last year. Wrote the song, sang the song. And
so she's
bass.
Done this before, and
she's done it one other year,
and she liked it.
But I mean, being when I was a kid, that didn't exist.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
Your parents were trying to talk you out of doing anything like that.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
That's not practical. I mean, my parents were supportive. It turns out, but I think the typical parent in late 70s, early 80s would have been saying, what are you going to do with yourself?
Right.
This is not a good
yeah.
plan. And now it's, go get them, kid.
That's cool.
But I'm just saying, it just feels like there's a lot of, I don't even remember what we were talking about now. But
how many, how much talent there is out there?
Tons of bands and mm-hmm. tons of, your entertainment dollar, you have to really, you can spend it so many places.
Yeah. So you, years ago, I've been friends with Tom for 25 years or so, or maybe a little more. But I remember at Rose Festival going to see the Dharma Bums.
Yes.
Now, was that your very first band? Or
that was not my very first band, but it was the first band that made a record.
Okay.
That went on tour, and did music on a more serious level.
Mm-hmm.
my first band out of high school that did stuff.
So that was out of high school?
Yeah. There was a band before that called Perfect Circle, which was based on an R.E.M. song. That title is
from an R.E.M. song. Oh, interesting. Did you think, like, Maynard's like, come on, man, you stole my name?
Perfect Circle. Yeah, later. Yeah, that was, I mean, that was different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were, but that was long gone by the time that one happened, so...
And so when did you join the Decemberists, and how did that happen?
That was the year 2005, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really remember. This is the best thing. You're interviewing somebody who's anecdotally challenged. Like, I can't really remember any good stories.
Right,
it's gonna
be
hilarious.
That's cool. No, it's good.
It's good. Anything in the past, I don't remember it.
Right, okay.
So,
well, I won't push
you.
I won't push
about the near future.
Don't even... That would be the best.
But I don't plan ahead much, I don't know about that either.
So what's going to be for your lunch today?
I've really tried to, you know, be here and now, you know,
right,
in my life, and it worked so well that I kind of have lost everything else.
You know, that's so funny. Yeah. There's this spirit about you that kind of, like, resonates with my boy Tom so much that it's just funny. And it's just like, of course you do, you know, and it just makes perfect sense. You know, so I'm like, yes, that sounds just right. So that's cool.
Anyhow.
So it
was about 2005 and somewhere in there, and they had lost us a drummer. They'd recorded a record, the record Picaresque, and needed to go tour it, and... the drummer bailed out, and they did auditions. It was my first audition.
Oh, wow.
After years of being in bands with people, I'd been in Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, which was the songwriter from Pavement.
Right.
I'd been in his band for 6 years, touring around a lot. That was like, you know, that was my first. It's a career.
If we to get off the topic a little bit, under that, was that the first time that you did something that was on national television?
That was... No, before that I'd been on Saturday Night Live with Elliot Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot Smith.
Oh, really?
I was supposed to do a whole tour with him, and I did just the TV show and kind of got fired. So,
from him? By him?
Yeah.
Huh.
Let go.
Huh. But, look, you bounce back.
Yeah, I was downsized.
Uh-huh. So I didn't think that I knew before that you had any kind of connection to him, and that's cool.
Well, he's a Portland guy, and actually the reason I got that gig was because I'd filled in as a drummer for Heat Miser, which was his band, his proper rock band in Portland before he went solo.
Uh-huh.
And that band, you know, was, you know, fairly regionally popular, and I'm sure, you know, a grand concern to some people, some places.
Yeah, people who listen in the Northwest would be like,
rock.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I've heard the name for sure.
Pre-grunge, mid-grunge era, sort of. And that was a rock band with two guitars, you know, pretty heavy kind of sounding. And I got, their drummer didn't want to do the last tour that he had booked for them. What year would that have been? We already established, I don't know.
It was before 2005.
Way before.
Yeah.
No, that was long. Yeah,
it was in the 90s.
In the 90s, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's cool. Because I don't remember that, but I'm now I got to look it up. but look up the
it's super important.
It is. It's cool. when your people are on something, you know, like I get excited and your people do too.
You know. So yeah, I did a song on Saturday Night Live with him, and that was really fun, exciting.
And so did you get to kind of like experience any, like see some of the madness?
I mean, I was like in the makeup seat next to Will Ferrell.
Oh, really?
And
cool.
Like, hey, how's it going? Yeah, like friendly and cool.
Right on.
And then I think it's Anna Gasteyer. Is that possible?
Right. That's a name.
Her.
I mean,
between the show and the after show party, they always have some bar in Midtown they go to. And I was in the limo with her.
Two
of us talking, and she was telling me how. I was like, this is pretty great, right? And she's like, well, I take the B train to get to work. They don't pay for that.
Oh, right on.
It's just sort of a show that we're in a limo right now going to the after
show. So do they just kind of shuttle people from the show to the party?
I guess so. But, you know, she was sort of letting me know that it wasn't as glamorous as perhaps I was my first thought.
And that's so funny. Because, you know, there's always like this childlike appreciation of like the moment, you know, that I always appreciate.
Yeah.
And so I always think like almost every moment of being in a band, you know, that's as successful as your guys' band, I'd be like, man, this is the life. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's funny. I mean, you have little touches of fangs, you know.
Right.
Like, I remember being on David Letterman and shaking George Clooney's hand when he came off stage and when we went on.
Oh, really?
But
that's really fun.
But I don't, you know, that was
really... It's just a thing. It's cool, though.
It is cool. I'll remember that. I think he's cool. And I met Lorne Michaels at the cast party at Saturday Night Live. And this is all pre-Decemberists, really.
Huh.
So, little bumps of interestingness.
That's really cool. Yeah.
With, I mean, in a celebrity sort of way, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Where you get to go, man, this is my life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Look what I did.
Actually, it was really interesting. I got asked by Lorne Michaels' kind of secretary or assistant to go approach him and talk to him because there's a thing, like, people wouldn't, he's kind of a weird guy and people wouldn't go socialize with him.
Right.
You know, like a lot of the cast, like, I'm there for afraid of him or something.
Yeah, I guess he's powerful.
Come up, like, their demeanor was, like, Chris Kattan, I remember him coming, like, hey, how's it going? Like, really, like, deferential and just, like he knew he needed to go say hello, but not sure how to do it, sort of.
Right.
I remember noting that.
Yeah, I imagine that every time they interact with him, you know, they probably feel like their future is on the line, you know? It's like,
well, yeah, this, I mean, he's the guy, and...
He pulls all the strings.
It was a really interesting, strange dynamic. And going up and trying to be polite and make conversation. And he's really just kind of watching reruns of Christopher Walken doing the shark, Lone Shark.
Okay.
up on the TV and kind of like talking to me, but not really taking his eyes. I thought, this, like, these were the golden days, you know?
Interesting.
It was really weird.
So I wonder, does he seem like he kind of lives and breathes the show, and that's pretty much it?
Well, I mean, that was my impression at that. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know.
What a cool dynamic to kind of be witness firsthand, you know? Like, because in our culture, Lorne Michaels is a big guy because like that Saturday Night Live's been present for so long.
All the people who make the jumps to film,
kind
of with his blessing in a way,
you
know?
Right.
They're like, yeah, it's kind of an interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So, also, one thing that I always got a big kick out of is that Stephen Colbert, who I'm a big, big fan of, loves your band. Like, loves your band.
Well, he hasn't called us in a while.
Really?
No, but...
Oh, he has?
No.
Oh, no, he hasn't.
No, he hasn't.
No, he called, you're being sarcastic. He never shuts up. He's calling us all the time. Stephen, we got a tour to do. Shut up.
We had a lot of fun with that. You know, obviously Chris, our guitar player, had the most fun with that. Guitar
McGee. That was a silly moment. That was really fun to watch. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So, have you been on there since?
We played that was a little while ago. Show when it's still the show previous to the show that it is now. We went out and played a couple songs one time. That was a long time ago, though, now.
Huh.
The record was Hazards of Love, I think, which is kind of now.
How long has that been?
Well, why are you asking me that?
Good question, because you wouldn't...
2010...
The reason I ask is because that tour was really great. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed, like, going to that show.
That was a fun one.
And the one that I went to was in Los Angeles, and... And it just, from beginning to end, everything was so tight and sounded so good, and Colin's first, you know, notes off of that thing, I was like, it was cutting through the room, and I was like, yes! And everything sounded great, and then you guys did that cool thing at the for an encore with you going out and doing the vocals and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and that was a great show, great memory. Like, that's a great, great memory. And then my friend Casey, who's a little my friend who's an actress off and on, was with me,
cool.
And she loved it too. So
awesome,
good times.
Yeah.
One thing that I have to know about, is. You guys were on The Simpsons. Your image is immortalized in The Simpsons, right?
Right, right. I love when people say you were on The Simpsons because it's kind of how you have to say it.
But mainly it's
the least true thing ever. But because
you didn't talk.
You didn't talk, and
no one did.
It's a drawing that represents you.
Right. So exactly. Exactly. Kind of it is funny.
Semantics, but whatever. We just wrote a few little bits of music for it. I think Colin had some lines, actual lines.
Okay.
Say hello to your new music teachers, the Decemberists.
Now, who wants to learn a song about press gangs and infanticide?
But it was, yeah, it was just kind of a, it was a novelty, you know?
Yeah. For sure. But it's like maybe the biggest piece of American culture in the last 50, 100 years.
No, I mean,
years,
it, yeah, it's an honor for sure.
Yeah.
In a weird sort of way.
In a not real way, yeah.
Not real, yeah. Virtual thing.
You're, particularly because, you know, they have the classic overbite, you know, presentation of everything. So to have your own image on the screen on Simpsons with that overbite. Yeah. Is really, really cool. Yeah. And so that'd be one of those times where I'm like, look what I've done for myself.
They gave us a nice print like of the cell. You know,
oh, really?
Like
that's really cool.
Of, you know, all of us.
That's cool.
Like the band kind of. Like
right on.
That's good.
I would yeah, I would frame
that's a,
that.
It's a prized possession.
Yeah, for sure. So how's the tour been going so far?
Been going all right. We
where were you before here?
Where were we before?
And I hope
here?
That's close enough.
No, see, this is what I told you. Don't ask me any questions if you interview me.
Yeah, only go to the near future. I should say, where are you going after this?
Damn it.
You know that part.
No, I don't mean that either. No, we're going to LA.
Well, you're in San Diego now, and it's great.
Los Angeles.
Oh,
tomorrow.
After this. Okay.
Where were we? The day. See, yesterday. Yesterday was a day off here in San Diego. Prior to that, where were we? Oh, we were at a casino up near Lake Tahoe. Very strange gig for us. Not a typical. The Mont Bleu.
Interesting.
Mont Bleu.
I've never been up there. Here it's beautiful.
Lake Tahoe is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Where we were was in State Line, Nevada, which is sort of, you know, right, California meets Nevada right there. And it's, you know, mostly casinos and stuff. And the way to the beach there, like it was a real crowded beach on the weekend. Like a line to get through a gate to go to the beach kind of thing. So wasn't like the Tahoe you imagine that's really pristine and like, you know, it's pretty used place. And the casino sort of brings sort of a, you know, bring the vibe down a little.
Yeah.
You know,
the casino does that. Like it just does that. Like,
I mean, I'm not totally against that or anything. I just think that, you know, it's there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of like campers in the parking lot and people like, you know, not, you know, trying to make,
yeah,
there's better and probably not gonna, and
there's this desperation kind of like around gambling that's like it's for me, like it's not appealing. It's just I mean, a lot of it's fun, you know, you're gonna be frivolous and play some 21 and everything, but man, once you kind of like kind of step away a little bit and you see some of that stuff and you step off the strip,
lung cancer and watery whiskey, and, it's kind of like
it's a little depressing,
a little bit. But there's something there, and but you know, you can romanticize even that stuff too, like you know, the old America, like how everybody thought it was going to be great and smoke them Marlboros.
And
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's an interesting you know, part of our culture, I guess.
Right.
But anyway, a little bit of a weird game, but it turned out to be really fun. The place that we played, they do concerts regularly, and it was kind of fun.
Right on.
You know, Dolly Parton's been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. You're in good company.
See?
So.
I love that.
Dang it. Do you guys watch any movies when you're on the road? Or?
Well, we just on my day off, I went out to the Fashion Valley
mm-hmm.
Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And saw
It's kind of
Sorry
snooty.
To Bother You.
How was that?
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's on my list for sure.
Yeah.
Right on.
So the guy who made it, Boots... is from a band called The Coup, a rap group called Coup.
Uh-huh.
And our guitar player, Chris Funk, for a while,
uh-huh.
had a job as a manager of that band.
Oh, really?
He co-managed that band.
That's
back
cool.
In, like, years and years and years ago.
Uh-huh.
So
where are they out of?
Kind of a cool little connection. I think they're down here somewhere, California. Maybe San Francisco? I'm not positive. Actually, I don't really know much about them as a musical group, but I just know that he had connections to them.
Now... I don't know if you're big on actors' names or not, but is that the one with Lakeith Stanfield, the guy from Get Out? The guy, the guy who's not the main guy in Get Out, but the guy who's been kidnapped at the beginning, or I shouldn't say, I just ruined the movie for
I haven't seen Get Out yet.
Oh, damn it.
I'm waiting for it.
Oh.
So, but I don't need to now. That's good.
It's so worth seeing.
Yeah, it's so worth seeing.
Yeah, I don't think have you seen it?
No.
It's good. You should see it. Really, I didn't ruin anything for you.
I
promise.
I'm see it.
Okay,
see it.
But that actor is very good. He's also, I don't know if you ever watch television, and on FX, the show Atlanta.
People Talking About It. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I watched the first season, and it's very good. It's very good. But I like that the actor who's in that movie, who's the, pretty sure the main guy. He's a phone guy, right?
Yeah. He does what do you call that?
Phone sales or tele sales?
Telemarketing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Boots.
And it's set in the '70s.
No, it's kind of current times.
Is it? Okay. For some reason, I keep seeing a big afro, and I keep thinking like it's a. Or I might be getting my movies mixed up. I can think with Black Klansman. Like that's what.
So we saw a preview for that. That looks really.
Yeah,
good.
That looks very interesting.
Looks really funny.
So I'm interested in seeing that.
Yeah.
But sorry to bother you. You give thumbs up.
I give a thumbs up to it.
Cool. Yeah. That's definitely it's going
to
happen.
Definitely like a homemade vibe to it. You know, like and he's an off kilter. The guy who put it together has got a great sensibility. He's kind of a. It's sort of it's satirical, but it's also kind of got a real. Like an interesting laziness to it. Like I don't know how to describe it. He's kind of like it's deadpan or I don't know. It's just good,
but it's appealing.
It's good.
Right on. Cool. Do you guys listen to music or on the, are you guys on the tour bus like for hours?
Yeah, we're on
the tour
bus. We carry a record player.
Oh, really?
With us with a stack of records and you know the backstage at Fish Room and we set that up. And
kind of rotate who gets to play?
Yeah, I mean, just anybody who steps up and wants to put something on, really, can do it. And, say, you know.
What do you bring?
Well, I don't know. What do you listen to today? A lot of times it's shopping on the, you know, if you have downtime, you can go try and find a record shop.
Right.
And it's kind of a nice way to kill some time.
Mm-hmm.
So people just show up. Usually it's, you know, kind of older. You know, what was on the other day? It was Black Sabbath, Masters of Reality was spinning. And then it was a... Oh my gosh, what was it? Singer for the Birds, the first version of the Birds solo.
That name
Gene
just...
Clark.
Okay.
Solo record. Like just, you know, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, we're probably more album oriented sort of.
Seems like
band.
Traveling. It's just it seems to be like that's made for listening to albums. It seems like so
because
it's like all right, if I listen to a 45-minute album, I'm going to be this far down the road. I can listen to this album.
We don't really do that on the bus. We don't like hey everybody, we're going to listen to this. Now. You know, everybody's kind of more. I think it's
people books on tape in their ear.
People tend to go you know with media being the way it is now. You know, so easy to just go into your. You know, we have little. Bunks we sleep in. You can go and you know watch.
Just lay down and
watch a show that you're binging on or whatever.
Right.
Or listen to an album on your own or something.
Are you binging any shows? Or you been like trying to catch up on anything?
Watched a show on Netflix called The Sinner. Jessica Biel.
Oh really?
Oh, that was pretty good. It's kind of like I like mystery. You know, it's kind of a mystery thing. Bill Pullman's really good at it. Plays kind of weird. He got a weird characterization. In
oh yeah.
Kind of weird voice and rip.
So, I don't even think I've heard of The Sinner. There's so much content.
Well, there's
on Netflix.
So much out there.
Yeah.
It's you're ridiculous. Kind of like you just kind of get done with something. You're like, wow, I got to fill that entertainment hole. And
yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, it's like yeah, we talked about that earlier with music. It's just there's a lot of. On a given night in a base in a big town in America, which band would you like to see? That's good. There's like a bunch.
That's true. That's true.
On a weekend, you know, it's like all the venues are full of something.
And then you have bands that you used to like back in the day.
Yeah.
Are suddenly touring with three or four or five other bands that you used to like back in the day, and like
TV
Sticks and
TV's kind of the same. It's like there's so much now that you can.
Yeah,
interested in. I just my wife and I just finished Breaking Bad.
Oh, really?
Which
for the first time?
We were very late to. Watch.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't watch any of it, and then just kind of went.
What'd you
went
think
through
of
the
that?
Whole six seasons, really, kind of rapidly recently, and I really liked it. But I mean, it's funny that to say you like it. I mean, it's like it's a horrible story.
It's so well done. I mean,
it's really well done.
Yeah,
and the acting's amazing. I think whoever plays his wife, I think is like
she's great.
She's the most amazing. I mean, to me, I just was like. Buying her the whole way.
Now, did you have any problems? Like, because I did binge a lot of this too. but I think I watched the last season or two.
Yeah.
Like as they were coming out.
Okay. Right.
But
you were caught up.
Yeah. But as I'm binging it, there are a couple that are just like they just suck the soul right out of you. I feel like where it's like It's just so dark, you know.
It's real dark.
Particularly Jesse. They're
I keep waiting the ringer, man.
And you keep thinking, well, he'll get his he'll get his reward at some point. He's getting punished so much. They've got to be setting him up.
Better Call Saul's got another season coming up. Don't you think Jesse has to show up at some point in the new Better Call Saul?
Maybe. I've only seen the first season of that, so I have to catch up.
That's what we started with, and we really like that a lot.
So you're completely up on
that. Yeah, we love that show, and then Breaking Bad. I mean, everyone did, you know. No one ever said it was not a good show. So
yeah.
I'm like, well, we should watch this sometime.
Yeah.
And
got its barbs in you.
Yeah, we watched it. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty brutal.
It's very, yeah. Like, to me, and part of it's like, spoiler alert, the show's over. We've both watched it, and most people.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it yet, you may want to not listen. But when they blow up Gus Fring.
Yeah,
In my opinion, that should have been the end of the show, like the season, the whole series, like one more episode after that, wrap it up, and then walk away.
Yeah.
All that other stuff, I felt a little like just extra torture porn that I just didn't, I can't get into so much.
No,
but it was still brilliant.
I mean, I think at the moments when the story, and you know, frankly, the story is pretty cartoonish, really.
Yeah,
I mean, all the stuff that goes their way.
Right,
miraculously at the last minute is kind of out. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
Real, it's not. I think you could at first kind of watch that show and say, "Oh, it's kind of realistic."
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Isn't. If you really look at it, it isn't.
Right.
You
know?
And
you just go for the ride, though. You get on
Gus
board.
Gus Fring's blown up body, walking out of the room, for instance, for one last gasp.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
there's
a bunch of stuff in there that's just kind of like
creative license there.
Yeah,
it's he would live. For exactly that long. Walk in, straighten his tie, and then fall down.
I don't know. I just think. But I guess my point was, even when some of that stuff's kind of, you're starting to kind of go, I don't know about this. The acting is so fun.
Superb.
And good.
Yeah, it's so enjoyable.
Yeah,
all up and down it. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that keeps you in it. Just watching for performances,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
watching people. Get a character that they can really do something with, you know.
Yeah, and that we've talked about that before too. That Bryan Cranston's character arc is one of the best things I've ever seen as an actor. Like from where he starts to where he ends,
yeah.
And it's never any like hard turns where there's not, everything is explainable. Like you can explain everything that gets him to where he's ends up.
Yeah,
you know, and it's a great it's a great message too. I mean, in a way, it kind of makes you think like things happen. People just don't end up bad. They aren't like just good and bad people.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like that, because I think
that
there's a message that'd be like there are bad people and you have to avoid them and you have to, you know, which is
right.
like bullshit.
Right.
Mind ideology, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know
that.
But like this is like, look, every person, it's a lesson in humanity. It's a lesson in compassion.
Yeah.
It's like if you look hard enough, and it doesn't. Sometimes you don't have to look that hard. You'll find a reason why this person who you find so offensive is the way they are.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you can connect the dots, you can find compassion for them. And
well, it's true. It's a drama sort of requires good and bad because stories need that. Or
right.
The way we sort of seem to absorb stories. It sort of needs to have that.
It does,
so it's
for
nice
sure.
when you see people who are willing to take the time to play with that a little bit and have a little more nuanced version of of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I appreciate that. Yeah, I think it's good for everybody.
It is.
Even though it's a torture porn.
It is torture some of the time. Yes.
but besides that, it's good. Any other shows that you like or are a big fan of? Do you watch any HBO stuff?
You know, what do we... what's the last thing I... you know, I'm excited about Game of Thrones.
You're up on that so far, all the way?
Yeah, although that story, don't ask me too many questions.
I won't ask
you
any questions.
Who and how
no,
come they,
for pizza.
Because, like, it kind of really...
It's hard, especially...
more complicated than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know? I thought, it's dragons and whatever.
And I think that all of the invented kind of weird names kind of make it harder to kind of, like... Who is that again?
Yeah, right.
You
Which
know?
One is that? Yeah.
So, visually, you know, you can kind of, like, tie it all together, but sometimes it's like... You forget who's related to who and how, and that's a complicated web that's throughout the entire thing that the nerds know, who read the book and who follow it. But
some of my bandmates were followers of the
I mean,
book
nerds, and of course, in a complimentary
way.
No,
I
way,
think
yeah,
they usually
right on.
Are quick to embrace that.
Yeah,
good thing.
Good.
I mean, I shouldn't say that for them.
Right, yeah.
We play board games, you know, we play like, you know, the revolution of... You know, interesting. Since Settlers of Catan and, you know, dungeon, right. post Dungeons and Dragons kind of right. gaming that adults can even do now.
Like what? What do you play?
Like Pandemic's a really good example. Like,
I've heard of that.
It's super fun. There's lots of different, you know, offshoots and variants and.
I want to do that because I'm a big board game fan. I mean, played D&D back in the day.
Yeah, if you played that when I still have never played one game of Dungeons and Dragons, but I like a lot of games that are out nowadays.
Uh-huh.
We played The Thing the other day, which is like, you know, the John Carpenter movie that,
right?
It's like a variant on that. You know,
interesting. With
a
bunch
of, you know, cards and dice and, you know, rules and whatever.
Right.
It's that was pretty fun.
That's cool.
The Decembers we have our own game that we put out with a D&D designer named Keith Baker. He helped take some elements we had cobbled together
as
props and such, and kind of built a game around it.
Now
it's called Illimat.
Say it again.
Illimat.
Illimat. Illimad.
A-T.
Illimat.
Illimat.
Illimat. And so tell me, because part of me is like,
we had a photo shoot really early on, and Mike. Start with the band where we the Decembers, especially even prior to me, were known for like really kind of photo shoots that were stories, basically, like, you know,
right.
And one of the ideas was that the band's all dressed up kind of fancy,
uh-huh. period piece
kind of playing this obscure looking game, kind of based on Ouija and that kind of, you know,
uh-huh.
Ouija board, kind of trying to something mysterious,
right?
And we had a long day of shooting and got a few shots of that near the end in this hotel room, and it didn't really, I don't even know how many of those ever made it to print anywhere or anything.
Right.
But then that prop that was built, the game board,
right.
was kind of sitting around, and I think calling it, so we got into gaming on tour just to kind of while away the time.
Right.
Spend quality time with each other. He decided, well, let's see if we can get somebody to make this. You know, we started to know a few game people.
And did you, like, have a concept that you had? Like, how you wanted
to... I think there was a bunch of stuff. I'm really not the person who you know, led the charge on
right.
it. So
that was Colin?
Yeah, more Colin, and Chris Funk uh-huh. is pretty into his D&D and all
oh, yeah?
that stuff.
Right on.
So, but those guys really, I think, there was a lot of things they didn't want it to do. You know, like... I think he wanted to keep it as obscure as possible and have it seem... I think that the rough idea was to have it seem like something that kind of had been unearthed. Like, oh, this is you know, something they used to play in some royal court somewhere, you know, in a dark past somewhere.
That has some kind of mystical...
Yeah,
like,
a little bit.
Connotations
yeah.
to it.
So it's supposed okay. to feel old and...
how fun!
Anyway, it's a fun game.
And it's actually been made and produced.
It's out there.
And where is it settled online, or is it like a
stores? Yeah, you can go to. I think you can find it on our website. I think you can find it. I mean, probably Guardian Games.
And have you played it?
At least in our area would carry it. I don't know.
Have you played it?
I have played it. I'm the guy that they have to re-explain the rules to.
Okay.
No, John, you can't do two. One card per move or whatever. Yeah.
You're like, I hate this game. And you spill it.
I don't want to play anymore. Yeah. That's why I used to be my sister. Right. Sorry when I was a
right.
kid. Was
sorry.
Well, she'd be like, come on, let's play a game. Like, I don't want to. She convinced me to do it. And then halfway through, I'd leave. So, I'm a terrible person.
So now you just feel obligated to, like, I'll play the game again. Go ahead. Just explain it.
In my older age here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, we learn. We learn as we get a little older. Yeah. Cool.
We covered.
I think we covered them all.
TV stuff. Jay Leno, friendly guy.
We're trying to get him to be on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and
that'd be good.
And I think that he would probably do it.
Well,
he's
the most genuinely friendly talk show host person that I've
you've met. Been. So you've been on Leno.
We did it a couple times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
he was super nice. Like.
He just kind of comes, you know, I mean, a lot of it's just social skill. You know, he just comes back, makes a point to come back and say hello to you, as
right.
opposed to
yeah.
David Letterman, who doesn't want to see you anywhere.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
funny. Yeah. So, that's cool. We can wrap up. Thank you so much. This has been great. So we've been talking to John from Decembrists, and we really appreciate it. And if you get a chance to listen to Life's a Binge, should anybody follow anything anywhere?
A lot of people are, I'm not very podcasty.
That's cool.
I haven't figured that out in my life yet, but there's a lot of folks in the band who do listen to things.
Okay.
I'll hit them to it.
Cool. Right on.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, John.
Yeah,
thanks,
course.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Like, again, solid interview.
Man. Part of me is like, isn't that just the dopest? Isn't that just so cool? Isn't it so great?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, full disclosure here.
Full disclosure
from our podcast marriage.
Yes.
I was like, I don't know about these interviews. Like, you did the Dave one, and I was like, that was really good for the Comic-Con episode. And I was like, now he's going to be doing this interview. And I was like, I want to be there for this stuff, like, as far as, like, the show goes. I would like you to be there,
for sure. Right.
But at the same time, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to dig this or not. Like, it's just going to be la la la. But then I listened to the whole thing, and I was like, man, oh, man, like, you're good at it, dude. Like,
oh, good. Thanks, man.
No, like, for sure. And like I said, I was going to be all, like, pissy, whiny, little, like, podcast wife or whatever. I was like, I'm not involved in you're just doing these things by yourself. And this should be a different thing. But, like, when I listened to it, I was like, what am I doing? Like, that's, like, so petty and dumb. Like, it's dumb. Like, you're legit at it, man. It's good. You're a good interviewer. You pick good interviewees. And, like, it started with the Dave Walker one, and it moved on to this one. And, like, dude, bring him on. Like, if you got anybody else you want to interview, go for it, man.
Well, you know, I'm still hoping that Jay Leno will actually sit down at the table, sitting in that seat.
For sure.
Or your seat. You know, sorry, man.
Or
even a phone would be awesome. Even on the phone. Would be awesome. But, right. Like, ideally, it would be nice to get him actually, like, face-to-face. Sure. Yeah. Would be great. But if he came in and did a phone, even if he did a 2-minute call in saying, hey, it's Jay Leno. Sorry, I'm not in my Jay Leno mode yet. But I tell you what, life's a binge. I'm a big fan. I love it. So, yeah. So.
But no, you're on point with them, and they're solid. So if you got them coming, keep them coming. And if you guys out there like listening to them, which I think you do, hopefully there's going to be more. And if it's a bonus content, then guess what? You got bonus content just like this week. So
Yeah. So congratulations on Thursday getting a little bit of new extra stuff to get to listen to.
That's right.
And then, man, on Sunday we're going to have more.
Yeah. So it comes up every week.
Every week. We don't miss many weeks. Very few weeks do we ever miss.
And because we're in the middle of our, bracket. Check out the brackets. Hopefully they're online at this point.
We haven't started yet.
As of right now, it hasn't been going. But
keep your eyes open.
Get your brackets out there. Look for the bracket and fill out your bracket for what you believe is the best year of movies. You might not have access to the spreadsheets that I'm creating because I don't know how to put those online.
You'll get it.
Maybe.
You'll
but if
get
not,
it.
Just that's what Google's for. You just type in the year and you compare the two and pick your winners. So pick your winner for who you think is going to be the best year of movies once those brackets are available. But that's what's coming up on our show. We're going to be talking about movies a bunch. So, but for now, solid midweek bonus.
Yeah, man,
interview
for
by
sure.
BJ.
Yeah.
And check out the Decemberists. They're a good band. They're probably available on all Apple Music and Spotify.
Everywhere you want to listen to them, you
can
find them.
Stuff. And so check them out because they're friends of the show, obviously. But for this midweek, let's wrap it up. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And
we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a binge.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.